You've selected the right show to listen to in order to become the best salesperson you can be. We literally listen to actual in-home sales presentations of salesmen at all different levels to show you precisely how to close more deals and what to avoid. I'm your host, Alex Mark. I built a sales-based home improvement company from $0 to $20 million in 2 years and then sold it to private equity. And I'm here to help you become the best salesperson you can be and put more money in your pocket. And welcome back to another episode of the First Call Closer podcast. Today, to my left, I have Chad Bowden, who is the sales manager for Revamp Fence and Deck, currently managing millions of dollars a month in fence and deck sales. Is that right?
I would say.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing the pressure, bro.
Maybe not millions yet, but millions soon.
Oh, we're getting there. Millions a day, baby.
Awesome. And to my right is our sales trainee, or should I say recently graduate, Dan Schneider, who actually just graduated from sales training today. Right, Chad?
He's excellent. He's going to be great.
Outstanding.
So unlike our previous episodes where we listened to a recording of you in the home, you don't have one yet.
Nope.
This is a first for us here on the podcast, and this is actually going to be a two-parter. Today, part one, we don't have a recording. You're fresh out of training, so we're going to do something a little bit different. We'll get into that in a minute. But
we're going to feed him to the wolves.
So to speak.
No pressure.
Before we get there, though, I do have a question for each of you, and this is going to be a little bit of a different question for our audience than they usually hear, since it's a bit of a different setup.
So, sure.
Chad, for you, having trained maybe hundreds of reps over the years, at least dozens of reps.
Hundreds, yeah.
When you have a new rep coming into training, what is the number one piece of advice you have for them in order to make sure that training is successful? So for the people out there that are maybe looking at a career in sales and saying, I'm about ready to go into my sales training, what should they be keeping in mind to make sure they come out equipped and ready to be a first call closer?
I think it's something that when I look for a sales rep, when I'm hiring guys, I'm looking for the untrainable things. I can train guys on the system, the process, what to say. I can't train guys on how to say it, how to have the personality. Mm-hmm. Self-awareness is key to me. And it's not just being self-aware internally of what you know you're messing up with, but being self-aware of your environment. Are you engaging a customer? Are you becoming a chameleon in that home? Are you natural? You know, there's got to be a certain level of charm to you, right? Humor, intellect, you'd be able to blend in with every customer. Because like I said, you may end up with a pastor and his wife at noon, and by 6 o'clock, you're talking to a couple of bikers in the garage, you know, and it's the same product you're selling and the same conversation, but it's going to sound completely different. So I'm looking for guys and gals, obviously, but people who can blend well, act natural, take the information I'm going to give you and implement it into your daily process is what I'm looking for.
So it sounds like for somebody just going into sales training, their mindset should maybe be more towards how should I react to the different situations on more of a human and emotional level than maybe as worried about the details of what it is they're selling and
absolutely.
That. And I think a lot of people go into sales training, and I know I've seen it, and they're just worried about what are the specs,
technical,
what are the details, yeah. The technical of I need to know everything about the product I'm selling. But it sounds like you're saying that's actually not as important as the soft skills of can I emotionally connect?
Yeah. Well, when we started this, you know, 7-8 short months ago, and we had not installed a fence yet, I had never really sold a fence in my life or had even really considered what I would do to sell one. So,
but that didn't matter.
When Jeff asked me to come on, I knew my process. I knew what system I needed, what questions I need to ask, what's going to create some urgency, how I'm going to build some want and some need into this. And, you know, we sold almost $500,000 in our first month.
Wow.
So,
and no one trained you, right?
Right. So, but obviously, school of hard knocks, I've been down those paths before. So it's interesting to see guys that have come in from the sales realm, maybe think they know everything. Harder to teach old dogs new tricks than some guys who have never done it before. And they just go out and do exactly what you ask them to do. And then they're super successful. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Dan, my question for you, having just gone through this last, 3.5-4 days of sales training, what would you say, looking back on it, was the most impactful or surprising thing that you didn't necessarily expect coming into it that you're now leaving, taking away saying, wow, I didn't expect that from this training?
Basically, I'd say the way that our system here deals with, you know, the objections to things, because every other sales job I've had, they teach you to address the objections, you know, and then give them an answer to it. But here it's like you're giving them all the objections they could possibly have first. You're spoon feeding them everything they could say to you. So that way, you know, by the time you get to the end of the presentation, there's really nothing left for them to do other than sign the contract.
Hmm. Interesting. So it's a different philosophy than you had coming into it.
Yes.
Maybe. And, you know, I think what's key there is, you know, Chad, he passed the test, so to speak. He didn't say it was, this is how tall a fence is. I now know that they come in these four colors and all of that crap that.
No, he'll forget all that. He'll call me. That's
all right. But it sounds like that's not what's important, right? What's important is you can make that connection with the homeowner and convince them that you have the solution that they need. The details, they'll fall in place.
Yeah, what Dan just said is perfect because that's exactly how the system is designed. We spoon feed these people their objections. We know what the objections are going to be. I need to wait and think about it. I need to talk to some other companies. Oh, that's too much money. So each step in the process that I train systematically eliminates them with specific word tracks and tie downs. So we ask them, you know, after we see their deck or their project at hand, you know, if you wait 3 to 5 more years, is this going to get better or worse? When do you think is the best time to take care of it, right? So they're going to tell us. And then later on, we've all heard the term ABC, right? Always be closing. You have to build you have to build all your ammo up first to close them in the end. So you can say, when they say, well, we just need to wait and think about it. Oh, really, John and Mary? Because earlier you told me you thought now was the best time to get it taken care of.
Ooh.
So it's being able to load up your gun with all those bullets. So at the end, when it's going to boil down to the money, and we know that. So eliminate those other smoke screens, those other objections. We know we're the company. We know we got the product. We know we got the warranty. Nobody else can do longer than lifetime, right? So it's the money, and we just need to boil it down to that.
Yeah, exactly. So today, we're going to do something pretty unique. We're going to put this training you just spent the last 3.5 days in, living, breathing, sitting across the table from Chad, to the test. Since we don't have a recording, what we're going to do today is make our own recording. We're going to do a live role play. And for those people that are listening, they're like, wait, what's role play? That sounds kind of
weird.
Not
one of those. It's, Joey.
It's very common in home improvement. And I think very underutilized and not looked at in the way it should be. You know, a professional athlete, what do?
They go out, Steph Curry shoots, you know, 200 free throws before every game, you know. That's
drill right. Constantly.
Muscle memory. Yeah.
But sales reps, I think we oftentimes get too just into the monotony of we're just always on the court, right? We're always in there for the next sale. And we don't always take a step back to say, hey, let me take one of my buddies and let's role play this.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me what I'm not doing, what things could I tweak in order to improve my skill set? So we're going to do it on the podcast today. But I mean, Chad, is role playing something you tell your sales reps to do on a regular basis?
Tell them I can only train from experience and leading by example. There's never been a time when I first got with Jeff and we started doing this years and years ago. That's all I had to do. I came home and I joke about it. But you ever been in an argument with your significant other?
Never.
Two hours later, you're like, oh, I could have said that. That would have really showed him up, right? So you think about that. If a good sales rep is truly mastering his craft and he didn't sell that day, on the ride home, that should hit you and you should say, oh, I should have said this. I could have done that. And then you take that and you go home and you stand in your bathroom mirror. You talk to your dog. You talk to your girlfriend. Get a friend over. Whatever you can do, but you need to practice it because just seeing it in the 3.5-4 days that we get in training is not enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So to set the stage, this is our kitchen table. I'm Mr. One Leg. My wife's not here. So you're selling just to me, right? And Chad's going to be over here.
When's a good time we can get back with you, Alex?
I make all the decisions.
We need both decision makers here.
Oh, just sign this here, though. Yeah. I can make decisions.
I got all the decisions here.
No, we'll let him go. But you're going to demo this.
Chad's going to be over here on the sidelines, ready to jump in and help you out and coach you as you go. Because obviously, you haven't done an in-home presentation yet. And what I think is going to be really cool to see, we'll do this initial part one today of a role play. And then, on Monday, you go out there live.
He's live.
Live, yes. In action. And you're going to start recording your presentation. So what I'd like to do is sit back down here in 2 to 3 weeks and let's listen to an actual recording.
That's going
to
be really cool.
So I think it's going to be pretty unique. But we're going to stick to our three main categories that we typically do. To keep everything consistent, we're going to talk about the company story, building value, and then the closing sequence. So you don't have to go through everything today.
Okay.
But with the company story is where we'll kick things off. So I'm going to put on my customer hat, my customer persona, and I'll let you get into sales sales mode, and let me know your company story, Dan.
Okay, so basically, you know, we started at TSR doing concrete coatings.
I'm looking for a fence.
Well, we're getting to that. Oh, okay. Let me just paint the picture for you real quick, because it's a pretty cool story. You know, the owner, Jeff, he was looking for a concrete coating. He couldn't get anyone to come out and do it. So long story short, he basically started that company. So recently, about 8 months ago or so, we evolved, and now we're doing fences and decks as well. So, you know, it's just pretty cool that literally started from nothing, and now we're doing millions of dollars a year in multiple markets.
Wow. So 8 months. So you guys haven't been around very long then.
You know, we haven't been around that long, but the thing is our guys, so our fence guys specifically only do fences. Our deck guys only do decks. So it's not like you're getting a guy who one day he's putting a roof up, you know, the next day he might be, you know, framing someone's basement. The next day he might be doing something else. Like, our guys are good at what they do because that's all they do.
Okay. All right. Is that the company story? Is that it?
That's pretty short.
Is that it?
No. So what I...
I understand the company's only been around 8 months, but that's a short story if I've ever heard one.
Alex doesn't look very interested.
Yeah, got it. The other guys went on for 45
maybe
minutes.
Take a step back and start in with those transitional questions, right? We know we got three questions we're going to ask before the company story. So let's ask those questions.
Okay. What would those be?
How did you hear about us?
Yeah.
I saw this guy on Facebook. He said you guys did fence, and my fence is falling down. So I don't know. I need a new fence.
Okay, so basically, you know, the marketing worked. You know, you saw us on Facebook,
I'm a sucker.
And then.
Well, let me have a sign here.
Yeah. If that's the case, I can just put on a contract real quick.
Whoa!
What's the next transitional question, Dan? How'd you hear about us? Alex, what do you know about us?
Oh, okay.
Were there any promotions, anything you saw that prompted you to call?
Say that again.
Were there any promotions or any what prompted you to call when you saw the Facebook ad?
I saw the ad, and it said that you guys were doing $1,000 off, so it seems like a good time to do it.
Never been a better time. Definitely. There's one last question, Dan. I'm going to let you revive yourself.
I'm drawing a blank on the transitional questions. I got mainly into the meat and potatoes.
We need to go back into retrain.
No. Okay, right here. Oh, you have these all out of order. That's why.
Those are the order you gave them to me.
Whoa.
Remember, I got the stapled one.
Okay. Now we're going to roll right into...
Okay.
There we go.
So, Alex, what qualities are you looking for in a company that's going to be doing work on your house?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Dan, I've had a lot of companies come in and do work, and some have been okay, but a lot of them, it's really hard to get a hold of them whenever there's an issue. And I get it. It's home improvement. Like, things are going to go wrong, but I want the company to pick up the phone when something does go wrong and come and take care of it. So that's the biggest thing for me, is just the follow-through on the contractor.
Okay, well, that's you know, that's one of the things about us, is when you when we're doing a project for you, not only are you getting the guys to come out and do the work, but you're also getting, obviously, my cell phone number. So if anything comes up, you're calling me, and I'll be out there within 72 hours.
72 hours?
Yes.
So yeah, I think a key thing to break here, you know, when I asked you to do the company story, you dove right into the about us, right?
Right.
Here's all about us, and just kind of word vomited it all.
If we had
the
slideshow, and then maybe it would help to map the words.
Yeah, like I said, bring your iPad. Yeah. But yeah, I think the key piece of this being that Chad backed you up and said, it's more important that you ask the questions and make it about me as the customer, right? Like,
right.
I don't necessarily care that much about the company, but you need to find out what's important to me so that you can tie that into how the company can solve those problems, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
So we asked the right questions. What qualities do you look for? He's had a bunch of people out and maybe haven't had a great experience every time. So we can compound on what that's going to look like when you choose Revamp.
Right.
How it's going to be right and tight.
All right, let's continue. So where would you go from here?
So basically, here's where, you know, where I'd start. showing the value of the company, showing you why you'd want to work with
us. Why do I want to work with you?
So basically, you know, when you're getting revamped, we have 33 locations, over 500 employees. Our product itself, what differentiates our product from other people's products is, like, ours is UV protected. We've got a lifetime warranty. And a huge thing that I'm a big fan of is the posts are pole driven. They go down 5 feet, so they're under the frost line. So you don't have to worry about the swaying. You don't have to worry about buckling. You know, any of the things that you got to really worry about if you're either doing it yourself or, you know, having local Chuck in the truck come down and build you a fence.
Okay.
How about how it's made?
Oh, it's made with virgin. It's made with virgin vinyl. So you're not getting the composite. You know, the composite, it's made of plastic and organic materials. So there's, you know, the... It's not just a possibility it's going to mold. It's going to mold eventually. So you're not
your product's going to mold?
No, not ours. Competitors.
Not yours. Oh, okay.
Okay. You know, like the composite. Ours is made of the virgin vinyl, like I said. So you're not going to have to worry about any of the, you know, any of the molding, any of the damage from UVs. And again, it has the lifetime warranty. So anything that comes up that's not, you know, damage, you doing something or, you know, hurricane or something like that, it's going to be covered.
Wow. Okay. So you guys... come out and take care of that. How do I know you're going to be around? You said 8 months you guys have been in business.
You're going to hang your head on that one, aren't you? Right. How about how it's made?
So the product's made. We have our own, you know, you're not just having some faceless corporation do it. You know, so it's made in our own manufacturing facility. So it's all made in-house. It's all American made. You know, the same guys that are going to be doing your fence, they're going to go pick it up from there and they're going to bring it out and do it. So everything's made in America. It's, you know, it's not just some random manufacturer, you know, that you're picking up from Home Depot or Lowe's.
But that 8 months. So
we still haven't addressed it. Just kind of skated over it.
So Dan,
correct me if I'm wrong, Jeb. But if you bring up the 8 months,
do we
you've
not
had
have
a customer
15 years
you, right?
of home improvement experience? 15 years of home improvement experience. We started with many different product lines: roof, siding, sunrooms, bathtubs, you know, things of that nature. We've evolved now into what more we would call a niche market with the concrete coatings. I'm sure you've heard of our sister company, TSR. They're in every driveway and every basement and every house in town here. We started with three guys in a small garage right here in Lena, Illinois, and we've grown that into 500 employees and 39 locations in 19 states. So, you know, maybe we don't have the most time in business, but we've mastered the craft, and the way we manufacture it is second to none. We manufacture it in-house, so we have a hand in the process from start to finish. I guess you'd call it vertically integrated. So we make it, we ship it, we install it, we warranty it, we even help you finance it. If there's ever a problem, you call us. It's a one-stop shop.
Wow. That's pretty darn good. I mean, I got to say the contrast there, and obviously, you know, Dan, this is your first time really doing this full out there.
This is my 6 millionth time saying
it. This is Chad 6 millionth. But I think that's a key piece that our audience can take away and see is that the more practice that you do, the more smooth it comes. Like, it felt a little uncomfortable, to be honest, Dan, mm-hmm. when you're going through that. It felt kind of forced that you're just spewing out the information, where Chad is very much of a conversation and just comes off like, hey, this is the way it is.
That's right. Definitely the repetition and knowing right. the key points, right? Because we call it a key point selling system. So again, it's going to be conversational. These key points get spattered in throughout that conversation, whether the lady's talking about her kittens or the old boy's talking about his Harley in the garage, whatever. At certain points in these quiet times in that conversation, we're going to say, oh, by the way, and we're going to add in 16 of our key points here quick.
And one of the things I noted that you pulled up on there, and I'm curious if there's a specific reason you did at this point, because you're just talking about the company story, but you mentioned financing, right? That really doesn't have anything to do with the company story or
but I plant nature, seeds. But you're planting seeds.
Talk about that. Why are you bringing that up? Why are you planting a seed of financing so early on? What are you trying to do with that?
Well, I want to let them know, for one, it's an option. Two things we find out. The customer has three preconceived notions, typically. One of those preconceived notions is this should either, A, be really cheap because I'm just replacing deck boards. They just think it's a cheap project, and then they're hit with a sticker shock, and then they're like, wow, how am I going to pay for this? Or two, they see the pictures, they know it's expensive, they don't think they can afford it. So we either have to disarm them with financing as an option, or we have to load them up with financing as an option, because they might get hit with sticker shock, and as opposed to them paying, you know, the $5,000 that they thought, they're going to pay $16,000, but it's going to be $180 a month. So I plant the seed early just so that folks know what it is an option in 85% of our projects are financed. So it does help to plant the seed early with financing.
All right, Dan, I'll let you keep going. What else you got for me?
Okay, so basically like the adding value and stuff like that, and you were where I was going to go when you asked, like, how do I know you're going to be around? That's when I'd go ask you, like, you know, have you ever heard of the magazine Qualified Remodeler?
Maybe, but I'm not sure what it is.
So basically what it is you've heard of Consumer Reports, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's similar to Consumer Reports, but it's for, like home improvement projects that you're going to be doing in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So on that magazine, we're actually ranked number 38 in the top 500 companies, up from number 72 last year. So, I mean, that alone shows that we're getting better every year. You know, we're already in the top 50, which is pretty impressive for someone who's only been around for such a limited time. And, you know, so we have that there. And also, if you ever want to check it out, you can go on Google, Facebook, whatever, and we've got a 4.9 rating there.
Okay. Awesome.
You got the slides to show them. Don't be afraid to show them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at Chad Craig, if I'm wrong, but the slides probably aren't for him. They're for me. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right now, they're kind of for
it's
me.
It's the teleprompter right now. It's the teleprompter.
Is that what we're going to do on Monday? Go in there, Mr.
I'm
Customer.
Ron Burgundy?
You just got a script.
Yeah, don't worry about this. This is for me. No, I think, and Dan now sees this. You can super quickly put your own foot in your mouth by saying something that you probably didn't really want to say. But when he mentioned that 8 months, he's like, and then that was a sticking point. Now that's now we've created an objection that we didn't really want to create, but now we have to overcome it. And like, just by wording that a little differently, like we've got many years in business, you know, we've evolved from different projects. Our company's been known, you know, we've been around for well over 15 years in the home improvement industry doing different things. Fence and Decks is our newest, you know, add on to the repertoire, but I like why you saved it. Our guys are specific to their trade. You're going to have specialist craftsmen. Deck guys just do decks. Fence guys just do fences. So you did save it, but you see right. How I was saying one thing, you're like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
that could stay in my mind.
And, right.
You know, as sales reps, we need to create as little blockers as we can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put those things in front of
minimizing
us.
Minimizing the negative connotations and maximizing the positives, right?
Exactly.
So as sales guys, we all know there's been times where we say something we instantly regret. You might have put your foot in your mouth by creating an objection on your own. And I try to train this to my sales guys is don't create your own objections. We want to make that conversation move in a positive flow. We don't want to really bring up anything that could be brought off as a negative. So if you do, and as a new sales rep, you will say something that you didn't mean to say, and it's going to become a sticking point. You have to quickly know that you said it. And then start to work around it and say, well, yeah, we may have only 8 months in business in the revamp fence and deck side, but we have over 15 years in the home improvement business. We've done thousands of projects. Just last year, we did almost 2,000 decks and fences. So quickly finding a way to spread as much dirt back over that as possible. You're like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But here's why, you know, it's our newest product line, but we have so much experience in other realms that there's no way we can fail, right?
That's awesome. Yeah. Very, very key place of how do we bring it back, right?
Yes.
We're all going to say things we didn't mean to, but the recovery is what's important so that it doesn't become a sticking point. And what you can't do is just gloss over
once
it
you,
and ignore
if you
it.
Stop at that mistake and then let it be quiet, it's settled in.
Right.
Now it's like, now you if you made that mistake, you have to instantly talk, say something. How about them Cubs? You know,
anything to get their mind off the last thing that you just
but
said.
For real, like, you're going to put your foot in your mouth, instantly figure out a way to get it out of there, right? So say something else to get them off that track of thought. But if you say something and you didn't mean to say it, and then you pause and think about what you're going to say next, they're going to say, this
Eight
guy,
months, huh?
You are new, aren't you? So, no, you're good.
Now, are there any other key points? You've gone into the building value a bit that you would want to make sure you get across that you haven't already?
I mean, I think we pretty much touched on what we'd go over to build value as far as, you know, the manufacturing process, the social aspect of it on how our reviews are. The 15 years in the home remodel business. So that's, I think that's pretty much how we'd start to build that.
Yeah, we try to hit on being vertically integrated, mm-hmm. our locations we've expanded on. I like to give the hometown story because everybody wants that local.
What's that story? Tell Chad, how would you present the, if you had to take one, obviously there's a lot to building value and it's all contextual, but if you had to say this is one big one for me, how would
I
you
say it, it just from experience, because Jeff did bring me out of the car business and I did go to high school with Jeff. So my story is a little bit cheating because I have direct access, but I can say, you know, I went to high school with Jeff Gear and, you know, kind of looked up to him in certain ways. He was a police officer for a while, but then he decided, you know, business was his realm and he went into business we started with doing roofing, siding, windows, and then he's evolved and he started TSR in his garage with Tyler's wife and Jeff. And literally turned it into the number one concrete coating company in the country. And we've absorbed, acquired, merged with now 9 other concrete coating companies across the country. And when Jeff called me to head up the fence and deck division, I was ecstatic because I already knew his method for success was there. It's proven. And it's in the more of a construction trade like I'm used to. So I came from roofing happy to join up and join Jeff in this. And since then we've started this maybe in April, but we've opened 9 new markets and we have, you know, local guys building your fence. We have a specialized local warehouse in each branch that we're in. So Appleton fences are made within Appleton by Appleton residents. Chicago fences are built in Chicago by Chicago residents. So we're employing local people. And then to me that means a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to bring the national appeal, the large appeal, but bring it down to, hey, we still have local people that we're employing your neighbors,
yep.
your people in your town.
Absolutely.
To this. So
let's see those revamped hoodies cool. down at the local pub and grub. Yep.
How important would you say it is tying in a personal story to the company story?
I think it's huge. I mean, if you want to feel genuine in anything, telling a real personal story to it, and that can be hard for a guy like Dan who doesn't know any of these guys, right? So what personal story do you have other than telling your personal story? You know, you were a Marine in Fallujah, right? Like fighting for your country, and you came back and were kind of trying to find your way and what you wanted to do, and you reached out and started seeking companies that you wanted to work for. And when you did your homework, you found that Revamp was the company. They had all their ducks in a row. I looked them up. Qualified Remodeler had a whole report about them. You know, these guys really have put something together that I thought I could get behind.
I think that's a fantastic example, though, of how you can apply a personal story to anything, because people may not care about a product or process as much as they care about you as a person.
Yeah,
right?
True.
It's making that emotional connection.
Right. Yep. Whether you drove truck all your life and you wanted to get out of the seat of the big rig and you want to try your hand at talking to people, that's when you can be the new guy and say, you know, I might stutter and mumble a little bit through this, but I'm kind of new, you know, and then give your personal story. And I wanted to join up with these guys and here's why. So, Alex, if just for the listening crowd, if you're new in sales, in any realm of sales, and you haven't, you know, kind of gotten the process down or gotten comfortable with talking to homeowners within their home or wherever you're at, having a personal story about where you came from will allow them to connect with you with a personal level, right? So whether you were a police officer beforehand, whether you, you know, drove truck beforehand, whether you were in the military beforehand, you can tie that personal story in as to why I wanted to come work for this company. I feel like telling your story and what you like most about the company, if you can't find things in your stats, right, and that's just coming off kind of scripted, I think having your own personal story, here's why I chose to work for these guys. The company is second to none. You know, I had worked for the government my whole life. And then I realized these guys really take a personal touch and care about their employees, and not only their employees, but their customers. And I think that's just huge to be able to connect with a homeowner. And if you're new, it's an easiest way to warm up.
Man, I love that. I love that. I think that's some good homework for you, Dan.
Yeah, I think so.
Between now and Monday, what's your personal tie? How do you tie that into the company so you can create that emotional connection
right.
with the customers when you go in there? So yeah, thanks for that, Chad. That was really good. So let's imagine we skipped ahead. You built all the value there is to build. I now know I'm full of value. How
super value.
How are you going to close me?
So we're already past the part where I'd go into like the three ways.
I would set up a tie down.
Oh, so we're already all the way at the end, like the closing part?
No, just tie down to this.
The tie down to this one? Okay. So I'd go into, you know, looking at Revamp and our reputation. Is there any reason that you can think of why you wouldn't want to do business with us?
Honestly, no. No, I mean, I love the white vinyl fence that you designed for me. I think that's going to look beautiful. Seems like you guys are local. I love it. No.
Oh, so we're going all the way to the close?
We're going to closing sequence, yeah.
Okay, so do the pre-close.
Pre-close.
Yeah, you know, I'm three questions. It's always three, right?
Pre-close. Let's go back to the pre-close.
The trident.
Are you going to have your notes with you on Monday?
No.
Flashcards, baby.
Yeah. I got a whole weekend to bug my
while
wife,
he's looking, so. I will say, for new guys, putting your key notes in a note card, recipe card, I had them in a clipboard. My clipboard would open, and I had them taped to the lid. And I'd be acting sneaky. Like I'm looking for paperwork. Never know what you're looking for in your clipboard, but I could look up and say, tie down. And I'd shut it back down and say what he's about to say.
Okay, so... Alex, because each home is unique, and this is going to be a custom-built fence for your yard. You understand that, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely get it.
Okay, and as we discussed, it's really not a matter of if you're going to do this project, it's when, right?
Yeah, it's got to get done. Mine's falling down.
So is there any reason other than cost why you wouldn't feel comfortable doing business with Revamp or myself?
Honestly, no, I just got to be able to afford it.
Boom.
Okay, yeah. So that's, you know, that'd be the part where any last objections we'd circle back
so
and
what,
cover.
Let's pause it. Let's say I'm a harder customer, Chad. What would I say?
If I was something like that. Customer. Well, we're not making any decisions today, Dan.
All right, let's roll with that. Dan, I can't make any decisions today. My wife's not here.
Mr. One Leg here.
Okay, I get that. And, you know, the price I gave you is good for 30 days, but.
Nope, go back right into what you're
I don't right. think. Have you given me a price yet? I didn't get a price.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yep. Well, as I may have mentioned, you know, we do have some incentives going right now to help the projects move in a little sooner rather than later. All I ask is that you keep an open mind. Is that fair enough?
Always got an open mind, man.
That's how you overcome that.
Yeah, so that would be the last objection. I'm just looking at this real quick.
is that a common one? My wife's not here. My husband's not here. Yeah, what else do you hear?
Every time you have a tie down, it is like a... customer will think you're closing them, and you like just got through your company's story, and I'll ask, you know, looking at Revamp and our reputation, do we sound like a company you'd be comfortable doing business with? Like,
we're not making any decisions.
I'm like, well, I haven't even gotten to the price yet, so like I'm just making sure we're the company that looks right for you. So people think there's like a pressurized point there, and there's a reason for it. There's a psychology to it. But when you get to that final pre-close is when you've systematically taken away every single excuse that they were going to have. So when you get to this pre-close like he did, looking, you know, other than cost, is there any reason you wouldn't choose Revamp or myself to do it? They're going to throw out whatever they got left. It's like, we always pray on it. You know, we'll pray on it and we'll get back to you guys Tuesday. I'm like, well, I haven't even gotten your price yet. So you'll get what's amazing about this system is you systematically removed every single objection they could possibly give you. And even their little last line of defense before a price ever hits the table. So for the listeners out there, I want to unpack the pre-close a little bit because I feel like the pre-close, no matter how your appointment goes, the pre-close is crucial to make sure that, for one, you've kind of fielded all their objections into one little box over here. You understand what their objection might be because we know it's going to be about the price, but they're going to throw every last line of defense they got at you. Some people like to be sold, but most people don't like to be sold. So at the end of the day, the pre-close is three specific questions that we want to ask. It's going to draw out any last lines of defense they might have. You know, in every other step of the process, we've eliminated the wait and think about it. We've eliminated the talk to other companies or other competitors. We've eliminated the thought of too much money by building value. But here at the end, when we pre-close, it's, you know, Alex, because each home is unique, this will be a custom-built deck to fit your house. You understand that, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Looking at the project at hand, seeing those pictures, it's probably not a matter of if you're going to do it, really just a matter of when, right?
It's got to get done.
So really looking at it, is there any reason other than the cost you wouldn't choose Revamp or myself to get the project done for you?
Just got to be able to afford it now.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So in that case, if he gives me that last little smoke screen, he's going to say, well, you know, my wife's not here. I really can't make any decisions. That's fine. Alex, we've spent some time here together, right?
Yeah.
I hope you appreciate the time. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for coming out.
Ultimately, all I want to do is take my pictures and measurements and come up with a price for you guys. Now, as I may have mentioned, and maybe the marketers mentioned, we do have some incentives designed to get the projects moving a little sooner rather than later. All I ask is you keep an open mind. Is that fair?
Yeah, always got an open mind.
So now we know what every single last objection he's going to have is, and we're clear to close. We're moving forward, and it's just about the money at this point.
What happens if you don't do that, if you skip that part?
You'll present the price and find out.
That's probably doesn't usually result in a first call close.
No, it doesn't help because I do tell guys this. if you don't do these things before the price hits the table, like we do a three ways to do the project, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, doing it yourself, hire a general contractor, choose Revamp. If you don't do that before the money hits the table, it's impossible to do it after. You can do it after. Mm. They're going to say, well, we need to talk to some other guys. And you're going to say, shoot, I need to talk about the three ways to do the project. But all you're going to do is sound sleazy at that point. You're going to sound like you're trying to overcome objections based on that dollar amount.
Yeah.
So if we do it before the dollar amount, there's more value add in it. Now once that dollar hits the table, now you're just trying to overcome things to get the sale. So it's super crucial that you do it beforehand.
So it sounds like it's really most important when you're going through this process to stick to the steps that are set up, right? Don't jump around. As much as that customer may want to push and prod you, and I maybe want to just jump to and say, hey, just give me the price. I don't need to see this. I've seen all this shit before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that, right?
Yeah, but Alex, if you're going to spend $20,000, especially without your wife here, you're probably going to want to see and feel and understand what you're paying for, right? She's probably going to ask.
It's going to cost $20,000?
Yeah, maybe. Possibly. Why? Do you got a checkbook ready?
Yeah, me.
No, but it's crucial to, and then you'll get people like that who want to just F you off. They want to say, right, come on, man, I don't need all this dog and pony show. I truly hit people with a real deal. Like, man, I'm just trying to come out here and do my job, honestly. Like, if you were going to go out and buy a car or buy anything of some value, whether it's $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, don't you think you'd want to see it or understand what you're getting? Right? So that's all I'm trying to do is make sure you are educated mm-hmm. enough to make the decision that's going to be best for you and your home.
I love that because it's pushing back and keeping control of the appointment and showing you're a professional.
Right.
Right. They're having you out here as the professional in fence, deck, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And there should be some respect there.
Yep.
They can't walk all over you. You're out here for a reason.
Well, the
Let me do my process to make sure I'm educating you and giving you all the information you need to make a proper decision.
It's tough, and good salesmen have to be ready to overcome that because the status quo in our industry is Chuck in the truck pulls up after his whole day of building decks and fences, and then you know, he's going to spend 10, 15 minutes with his homeowner, draw it out on a piece of paper. I'll get back to you in a few weeks, okay? So that's the status quo. That's right. The bar is set here.
Pretty low.
So the homeowner, when they see us setting the bar here, they don't know how to respond. They're like, "Whoa, we just wanted a quote."
Yeah,
that's what I'm giving you, an educated quote, right? So,
yeah,
I feel like I would want to have the most information possible.
Let's keep rolling into price. I still don't know how much it's going to cost.
Very affordable.
It's very affordable.
So at this point, do you want us to write out a price, or do you want them to present price that way?
Just make up a price and present it like you would. You've calculated it all up. I've got a beautiful white fence. It's whatever.
Just stick with easy numbers, pal.
Yeah. Okay, let's stick with the easy numbers. So basically, Alex, you know, I got something I think you're really going to like. We can get your project done for just
$20,000.
How do people like to pay for that?
Well, so most people, you know, I don't know how you're planning to pay for this. Most people like to handle it in two payments. So we can do the first payment with 40% down, or we can finance it. So which do you think you'd prefer?
How does that $600 a month fit your budget?
That's what I was going to say. Okay. I've heard some of Chad's training and seen some of it. I don't think that's how he trained
you. We're throwing him out here because usually we have
normally there's out, a, yeah, right? There's a board numbers. Here that I can put things out on.
And some papers. And he's like, just do it with memory.
Yeah, right. Just do it off the top of your head, even though you've got 40 hours of stuff crammed down your head in the past 3 days.
But this is good, right? This is going to help you remember on Monday when you're getting out there. Huh? Don't just blurt out the price.
Right.
Yeah. Chad, I'd imagine, How do you unpack the price for them? You don't just say, I've got something really good. You're really going to like it. It's $20,000.
Yeah.
What would you say? Like, I don't like that, Dan. I don't like that.
Balls on the table. Just have at it. No, and I'm super excited, Alex, for this first call closer price presentation program that we're going to have right any day now. But for now, what we do, we build it out on Builder Prime. I show the screen to the homeowner. I also have it written out with the drawing. So they see their drawing on a piece of paper. And above that, I'm going to write, it's never $20,000. We were trying to get easy numbers for my guy here. $20,659. Some folks like to take care of that in two payments, Alex. For you, that'd be $8,000 down. The rest is due at completion. You just pay the crew. Or we can set that up for a comfortable monthly budget of $600 a month. How's that $600 a month fit in your budget?
So, a key difference I heard there from what you did, Dan, is he didn't let me talk. till he got that monthly payment out there, so that you're in a sense assuming financing, right? You're assuming always that I want to finance.
Yeah, you're going to find out right in 2.7 seconds whether they're financing or paying cash. They'll tell you right when you ask, how does that $600 a month fit in your budget? Mm-hmm. If they say it doesn't, we know we have a finance customer. If they say I pay cash for everything, I'm not financing, well, yeah, then we know we have a cash customer. So, mm-hmm, and we might have a cash customer. We still have to peel that onion a little bit to find out how they're paying for it. But most times, and again, 85% of our projects being financed, they're going to say that doesn't fit.
Yeah, I think that's a key piece to take away for you, Dan, going out into the home on Monday, is that financing is probably something you need to lead with. Hearing 85%, which is way different for our audience that has listened to our first two episodes, is more like 5-10% for the other product. Oh, you're
dealing with TSR, yeah.
With the concrete coatings, this is the whole other ballgame, right? If you don't present financing and you assume cash, you're going to maybe get 15% of the customers, right? Right.
It's make or break.
Chad's going to be calling you saying, hey, man, this 3% close rate, it's not cutting it.
So our projects is $20,659, but the other guy was $14,000, but he needs $7,000 now and $7,000 when it's done. I need $500 now, and I can do $220 a month.
What are you going to do, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How important would you say that finance piece is to the overall everything we're doing? You know, if they do everything right, they get to the price presentation and they do what Dan did, is that a big problem? Or
I think it has to be, it has to be brought up. Like, there's not, it's absolutely crucial. It's 100% of your sale. Like, if you don't present it that way, you're going to have problems. You're going to be fighting your own objections, and then again, you're kind of aimless. You don't really have a plan back to the road that you were on. You're off lost here in the woods, and we need to get back over here. But the whole point is we're going to ask questions that we know the answer to. I know that $600 doesn't fit in your budget. I know the $500 doesn't fit in your budget. You're going to tell me $350 fits in your budget. So we're not asking questions we don't know the answer to. That's the whole point of this. We lead by making them feel like they're leading. Because mm-hmm, we ask the question, they get to answer. They feel like they have the power, but we know the answer to the question before it's ever asked. So, as like I said, it's crucial that, Dan, you know, and you know you will too. Like I said, when you go to write that down on paper, you're not just going to say, I can do it for 20,000. How's that sound? Don't ever ask how that sound. It doesn't sound good. I promise you that. You won't like the answer.
Yeah, I think you know, Jeff said that very well in the first episode we had here. He said, how does that sound appears nowhere in any of our sales training.
We should put a poster on the stairs on the way up. How's that sound?
We don't ask that. That's a no-go word. So we look forward to not hearing that in your real recording coming up in the next couple weeks. But
I counted how many times he does it in the next year, right?
376
times.
So, Chad, any last words of advice for Dan before he gets out there on Monday that he should be keeping in mind, or really any new sales rep when they're going out on their very first call on Monday in the home selling any home improvement product? What do they need to keep in mind for the best chance of success?
Have fun. This is fun. I love what I do. And I every day I get to go meet somebody new, and it's a new adventure. And yeah, you're going to have people who are assholes at the door. I can promise you their life was crappy before you got to the door. So take it with a grain of salt, weather that storm, but go have fun with the people who are having fun. Because when you're having fun and you're just bouncing around, ask Anthony out in Buffalo, who sold $8.5 million in his fence and deck last year. I got to ride with him on a lead, and that dude has nothing but fun. He's a walking fun house. So, like, I'm telling you to be natural, have fun with it. Don't hang your hat on this, right? At the end of the day, people are going to buy from someone they know, like, and trust. This is important, but there's nothing more important than building the relationship with the homeowner and having a true, genuine connection. So at the end of the day, have fun, act natural, bomb this as much as you need to, but get that price down and set your balls on the table and ask for the sale.
Right.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to having you both back here in a couple weeks to listen to an actual recording, dive deep into it, and let's hope we don't hear a "So what do you think?"
How's that sound, Dan?
How does that fit into your budget?
There you
go. That's what he meant to say.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you guys for both being here today. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks.